Shalom Aleichem Rabbosai, good to have you all. Afreilchen Shushan Purim, and now we're in Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag. We could talk about Hilchas Pesach. So the halacha is that you're supposed to, La'ihudim Hayis Ta'orah V'Simcha V'Yikar, the poskim say you're supposed to learn Torah before the Seudah. But presumably, what Torah should you learn? Presumably, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, you have a chiyuv to learn Hilchas Pesach. That's why in Purim, you're supposed to learn Hilchas Pesach. So if you didn't, if you talk firm, tell me you didn't learn Hilchos Pesach, at least you can start now. So we're going to be talking about the halachas of Mechiras Chametz, and more specifically, Rabbi's Guide to Mechiras Chametz, and I'll frame the shir with the following story that happened across the street in First Hall on the third floor. So Rabbi Schechter, the Kollel used to learn, not in the Beis Medrash, this building didn't exist. 20 years ago or so, 25 years ago, First Hall has a third floor based medrash, and that's why you had this afternoon Seder. Baruch Hashem, Akshadar, a lot more people learning now. And in that kollel on the third floor was a phone booth. Before you guys were born, there's something called a phone booth. That was a place where Superman would change, and people would make phone calls because they didn't have cell phones. So there was when somebody wanted to reach Rabbi Schechter, they would call that phone number. People knew that phone number. And someone would call Schechter in from the Beis Medrash. So a phone call calls, and somebody says, "Hi, this is Rabbi so-and-so. Can I please speak to Rabbi Schechter?" Rabbi Schechter comes to the phone. "Hi, this is Rabbi so-and-so, the rabbi in Chicago, Columbus, Cincinnati, somewhere in the Midwest. And I have a shaila. I want to ask the Rav. Somebody in my congregation owns a dairy farm, and there's a mommy cow who is pregnant. Mazel tov, how can I help you?" So the halacha is, there's a myth that you don't want to have it's her first pregnancy. Mazel tov, shatov and mitzlachas. You don't want to have the bechor of an animal bechor behema tahora be born to a Jew, because bechor behema tahora is going to be chayev kadosh b'kedushas bechor. And it's going to be very difficult to have on your dairy farm an animal that has Kedushas Bechor in the middle of Kansas or Iowa or Illinois. So the guy who owns the dairy farm, I kind of wants to sell the animal to one of the farmhands. So I wanted to ask the Rav, how do I do that? So Schechter tells him, "Well, do you do Mechiras Chametz every year?" He says, "Of course, I'm the rabbi of a shul. Of course I do Mechiras Chametz every year." So Shem says, "Okay, the same kinyan you do for Mechiras Chametz, do for the mother cow." So there's a silence. And then the rabbi responds, "Would Rav Schechter mind reminding me what kinyan I'm to do?" That was the story. So I don't want you to be caught as rabbanim, and you get a shaila of selling your bechor, and you're not going to know exactly how to make the kinyanim on the mother to avoid kedushas bechor. And therefore, we're going to have today's shir. Today's shir is about not a kedushas bechor, but it's about how to sell chametz. And all the rishonim who discuss this shaila do not discuss in the context of selling a bechor, rather a chametz. Rather, they talk about it in the context of selling a bechor. And the reason why the halachas of selling chametz comes only out of selling a bechor is because when we talk about selling to a guy, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, there are halachas of how you sell to a guy, and the halachas of how you sell to a guy depend on whether it's karka or metaltalin. And just like a animal, a cow is metaltalin, so too chametz is metaltalin. So the shaila is selling metaltalin to a guy, as you do by kedushas bechor, is exactly the same sugya, and therefore the source of the sugya for how do you sell Metaltal, the Haino, a box of Cheerios, to a guy before Pesach. So before we get into how to do the Maisa Mechir, which is going to be the main chunk of the shir, to introduce the sugya of Mechir Eschah, it's just a little bit of history that will help us appreciate a little bit about what the issues are and why it is a little more complicated than other things in Halacha, and why people don't typically do their own Mechir Eschah. I have one Balabas who is in Ben Torah, and thought he was smarter than he actually is. And he said, he happens to own some properties which are involved with food services. So he said, he'll sell his chametz like with his family through the rabbi. But his own properties, his business, he'll take care of himself because he's a Talmud Chacham, he thinks. So He goes ahead and he's been selling for a number of years his properties with his food business to the guy, and when he realized what was involved, he realized that he was making mistakes, you know, through his whole, you know, for the past, I don't know, 10, 20 years, since he thought he became a Talmid Chacham. So, you'll understand in the context of why it's more complicated when we go through the sugya. So, people assume that Mechilas Chametz is an invention of the Achronim, and that is not true, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Pesachim, if you want, I'm going through the Maamar Kamos that I emailed you, so if you want to open up your Maamar Kamos, I will reference them as I go, they're all numbered. So the Mishnah in Pesachim, Daf Chaf Aleph, says that as long as you're allowed to have Chametz in the morning, on Erev Pesach, Mocher L'Nachri. So for a Mishnah, you could do Mechiris Chametz. The problem is that the Tosefta describes this Mechiris L'Nachri, and the context where the Tosefta talks about Mechiris L'Nachri is in the following story. The Tosefta tells the story of a person on a boat. Now, if you're on a boat, how long does it take to go from here to Eretz Yisrael? So, my father graduated YU in 1955 and went to learn in Eretz Yisrael in 1955, and it took him only 3 weeks. When my mother was a few years younger, and she went for her junior year in Stern College, she went to Bailan in junior year before people went to learn in Eretz Yisrael. So, by that time, in the 60s, it was only 2 weeks. So you can well imagine that, you know, a few thousand years ago, it's very reasonable that somebody would be on boats for a few weeks. If you happen to be on boats for a few weeks, then it happens to be Nisan time, so that one of those weeks will be Pesach, which is fine. You'll get rid of your chametz before Pesach, you'll sell it to the guy on the boat. There's one problem. What are you going to eat after Pesach? There's no grocery store down the block. There's no apples to pick down the block because you're on a boat. So the Tosefta says, because of that, the following. Yisrael, the guy that are on a Sfina, and the Jew has the chametz, he could either mocher to the guy, he could give it as matana, and says the Tosefta, v'chozer v'lokeach mimenu la'achar ha-Pesach. A tremendous kula that you see is already in the Tosefta, that you could buy it back, you could sell to the guy, and buy it back after Pesach. Sounds like our Mechiras Chametz, doesn't it? So it's not a newfangled invention, this Mechiras Chametz is a first Tosefta. What gets complicated is the last three words of the Tosefta, of which there are two Girsos. The Tosefta says, as long as you give it to him from Matana Gemura. What does that mean? What do you think that means, if you have to give it to the guy from Matana Gemura? It can't be a Matana Menachas Nahachzir, because if you give it as Matana Menachas Nahachzir, even though typically Matana Menachas Nahachzir does work, but for Chametz, Matana Menachas Nahachzir presumably does not work. Please take two sheets and some cake. The Ritva has a different girsa of that Tosefta. He doesn't say Uvavachi Yitzanar Vidmatana Gemura. The version of this Tosefta that the Ritva records is that when you sell to a guy, for example, on a boat, Uvavachi Lo Yarim. What's Uvavachi Lo Yarim? You shouldn't do Harama. Well, do we do Harama? We sell every year. Is that Harama? Says the Ritva. Harama means if you sell to the guy every year and buy it back from every year, that's harama. And that's what the Tosefta says is usher to do. So according to the Ritva's version of the Tosefta, you cannot sell to a guy with the anticipation of buying it back afterwards. You could do it once in a blue moon. For example, you're on a boat and it happens to be this. How many times in your life are you on a boat for a 3-week trip in the middle of Nisan and you're not going to have food to eat after Pesach? So you have to rely on this harama of selling it to the guy and buying it back from the guy afterwards. That's okay once in a blue moon, as long as, says the Ritva, Vashal Yarim, you can't do it every year. According to the Ritva, our Mechiras Chametz that we do would not be okay, because we do it every year. And therefore, that would be a violation of the Harama that his version of the Ritva, his version of the Tosefta, has, and therefore our Mechiras Chametz is in the garbage. Fortunate for us that the Beis Yosef does not learn the Ritva's version of the Tosefta. Rather, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if you have a number, the Beis Yosef, when he says, the Beis Yosef records this halacha, this Tosefta, that you can sell to a guy and buy it back after Pesach, he says, as long as you do it without a tanai. As long as it's not a matana manas lahachzir, you don't have any tanais in your sale. Your sale has to be a sale chaluta, legamre, lechalutin, leolam. When you sell chametz to the guy, which is exactly how we do sell our chametz to the guy, there are no ifs, no ands, no buts. It's a sale forever and ever and ever. So that's point number one. We have to realize that there is this harama concern, and the Beis Yosef says selling it every year and buying back is not the harama. The harama would only be if you do it with a matan amanas lahachzir or some other tanai. That's point number one. Point number two. There's a Trumas Hadeshin. Actually, two Trumas Hadeshins. In Kuf Chaf and the one right before Kuf Chaf, Kuf Yutes, the Trumas Hadeshin, who many scholars or poskim say he wrote the questions himself, he asked the following question. Somebody who wants to give his chametz to a guy outside of his house before Pesach and get it back after Pesach, could he do that? That was the question of Trumas Hadeshin. What words did he add into the question? He said to a guy outside of his house. Similarly, in the other Trumas Hadeshin, when he talks about certain kinds of chametz that you're allowed to have or not allowed to have, he says this kind of chametz is chametz, and therefore you could give it to the guy michutz labeiso. So Trumas Hadeshin clearly holds that the din of mechiras chametz to a guy, which works midina de mishnah, only works if it's michutz labeiso. So that was totally fine for all of history until the 1600s. Why? Because what we did, we lived in Washington Heights, we lived on 186, then 185th. We had a Gentile babysitter who's still in the neighborhood babysitting, I don't know, maybe she's sitting Fula. Anyone have Fula? You were a kid? You did when you were little, right? Okay, Fula was our babysitter, and Erev Pesach, we gave her a big bag of chametz with all the granola bars and the leftover shalach manas that we weren't able to give away to our contemporary halacha students. And we gave her a bag, and she took the bag, she took it to her house. And that was mechiras chametz, or no, so it wasn't mechiras, it was a matana. We did it to Mishnah, like the Tosefta, totally fine, and she had no need to bring it back after Pesach. Sometimes she did, sometimes she didn't. I don't know, it doesn't really matter. But that was fine because it was mechutz lebeiso. And that's how mechiras chametz worked for all of history until the 1600s. What changed in the 1600s? In the time of the Bach, it was not because of the Bach, it was because of the Polish government. The Polish government limited Jews from participating in many areas of commerce. And one thing that Jews were permitted to do is own taverns. When I went with my wife to Poland a few years ago and we had our Polish tour guide, we were told that apparently every town had a tavern, of course. You know, Zagin Zeya Shikri is a guy. We'll leave it in Yiddish. So every town had a tavern. And the taverns in every single shtetl in Poland, Jewish town and non-Jewish town, even the non-Jewish towns, the tavern owner was always the Jew. That's just how the commerce, that was the only thing the Jews were allowed to do. They were given like a license to own the tavern. So if your parnasa is to have barrels of liquor in your basement, it's not going to be so easy to do this mechira to the guy, michutz lebeiso, because the guy's not going to be able to lift up these 300, 400, 500 pound barrels and carry it to his house, and then if he's nice enough to bring it back to your basement afterwards. So all of a sudden we have a problem. We have a problem of not being able to fulfill this din that it has to be michutz lebeiso. So all of a sudden we have to figure out how to be makna to a guy the chametz in a way that it is not in our house but in his house. So what's going to be the solution to that? The solution to that, which was the Bach puts forth, is very simply. My basement, where I keep all of my schnapps, is my basement. What do I have to do to make it mechutz lebeisi? I simply have to sell my basement, or in fact, I don't have to sell my basement. I can just be masking my basement. If I rent my basement to the guy, so memela, it's now the guy's house. So that is the beginnings of our mechiras chametz model. In other words, I have chametz in my house, and I have chametz in my dining room, I have all my schnapps. In my basement, I have the granola bars from Costco. In my pantry, I have all my noodles. And it's going to be very difficult to ask the guy to go lift up every box of Cheerios, every bottle of schnapps, and every box of noodles in my house in those three locations, and to do the same for all 150 members of my shul. No one's going to want to do that. So what do? Besides selling the chametz to the guy, we also rent the land where the chametz is located to the guy, so that the land where the chametz is situated is michutz lebeisi. And therefore, we fulfill the din of the Trumas Hadeshin as passing to the Shulchan Aruch that the chametz has to be not in my house, it has to be the guy's house. Therefore, every time you sell chametz through your rabbi to the guy, you are not selling your chametz. You are selling your chametz, and you are also leasing to the guy the location where the chametz is sold to fulfill this din of Michutz Lebeisa. If you take the sheets, does anyone not have sheets? Do you have the sheets?
No,
you don't have any. No. So if you look at the authorization form, which I give to my balabatim, anyone else need? So you'll notice that it says, this is what's called a shtar hasha. In English, what? In English it's called a power of attorney. In French it's called an authorization for sale of chametz. It says, I, this undersigned, fully empowered Rabbi Uri Orlin, or someone he designates, in case, I always want to protect myself, in case, I don't know, something comes up, I'm not able to, you know, make it to meet the guy, so I put in, or someone he designates, to add to my place, to sell the chametz, etc., and, the end of the first paragraph, to lease all places in which the chametz owned by me is found. So, by adding that line, we're making sure that we're fulfilling the din that the mechira is also to chametz, to the guy, is also michutz lebeisa. That's point number one. Now, once you say that it has to be, give me 1 second and I'll take your question. Once you say it has to be the guy's land, there's a corollary to that that's very important. The corollary to that is that if it's in his basement, then what must he have to that basement? Access. So that means if every single person is going to be renting to the guy, selling their chametz to the guy, and renting parts of their house to the guy, if it's a bona fide rental to the guy and it's considered the bias of the guy, it's foolish to say you're going to rent the guy your house, but he can't get into your house. Therefore, an absolute necessity is that the guy has to have access. And that's what the Bach says in source number 10, Tzarech lemos limsa legoi gam hamachteach. Because if you don't give the machteach, then he's rented, it's his house, it's his basement now of the tavern, but he can't get in. That's a chuchul tlula. So it has to be that you also give him machteachas. Now, nowadays, most people have, many people have combination locks. Even if you don't have combination locks, nowadays people have cell phones and FedEx. So nowadays life is a lot easier. It used to be that people had to leave a key where they're going to be home, or if they're not going to be home, they have to leave a key where they're nearby their house so that the guy could have access to the property that's his. Not just to his chametz, but to his land which he has rented and which is his bias. So practically, nowadays it's much easier because what I tell people is that if somebody comes and he says they're going to be out of town, so I say, okay, if the guy wants to get into his house and to his chametz, how will he get in? They say, no one here has a key. I say, no, you have to leave the key with somebody. You have to leave the key with somebody in the tri-state area. Worst comes to worst, you could, if there's a combination, then we could just call you, could give them the combination. And if you don't want to leave the key, so worst comes to worst, I guess nowadays we could call them on the cell phone and, you know, within a few hours they could ship it FedEx and the key will get there sooner enough. That's not ideal, but you have to have the ability for machine, you have to have the mafteach that's available. Yes, Devin.
Why is it
Shemesh HaSadash say it has to be Chutz Lebeisa? I'm not sure if it's because of Achrayas, because you could be held accountable for Chametz that is under your Achrayas. What else could it be a reason? Maybe it's Achrayas. Maybe it's a Din D'Rabbanan that you might come to eat it if it's in your bias. That could also be, yeah.
Wouldn't it be an issue with your Antif? If the guys in the world have the Chametz all pizza,
You're not home. 100%. Why is the phone call being a good solution? It's not a great solution. The better solution is that there should be someone in the tri-state area that's easily accessible that has a key.
It sounds like it's an acceptable solution, or it's not.
This is the way the world works. But a lot of people go away from Pesach. Not everybody has a combination lock. So deal with that as best as you could. Okay. So that was the introduction, the history, the history of halacha of the mechiras chametz. Now we're going to get into how to do the mechiras chametz. So, how do you sell something? Well, you sell something. Remember, we're talking about an issur d'oraisa of owning chametz. You'll tell me, no, it's not. It's only the rabbanim because you did bittul. Silly goose, that's not true. Because if you did bittul, you wouldn't have to sell it, and you can't sell something that you're mevatel. So we're talking about stuff that you haven't done mevatel. You haven't done bittul on. And especially, why are you going to do bittul on a $400 bottle of scotch? You're not being mevatel that. Nor are you being mafkid. You're selling it. That means you are mevatel. So we are dealing with the nisa d'oraisa. So you're dealing with the nisa d'oraisa of owning chametz. So how do you sell something such that you, on a d'oraisa level, not own the chametz? So you'll tell me, you sell it. How do you sell anything in the world? You give him, he gives you $5, and you give him the food. So does that work? So if you look in source number 11, there's a pasuk in the Torah in Vayikra. The pasuk says, "Chisim krimim kol amisecha kano miyad amisecha." The issur d'oraisa of ona tells you that you do kinyan davar hanikna miyad liyad. And what is that? That is being machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Min d'oraisa maos konos." Reish Lakish says Mashicha Kona. How do you remember which is which? How do you remember who holds which? He says Tikkun Machlokas. You'll have to know this Machlokas. Rav Yochanan says Maos Kona, and Reish Lakish says Mashicha Kona. Because Reish Lakish has two shins, and Mashicha has a shin. Okay? Reish Lakish, Mashicha. You will now remember for the rest of your lives Machlokas, Reish Lakish, and Rav Yochanan. Good. So, if you hold Maos Konos, so you'll sell, and you'll take care of it, please take one of each, you'll sell it to the guy with Maos, right? If you hold that Mashicha Konos, you'll sell it to the guy with Mashicha, right? So, life is not so easy, life is not so simple, because the Gemara above Metzia points out, I'm sorry, the Gemara Bechoris points out, in the context of selling to a guy, that this pasuk says, O Kono Miyad Amisecha. What does Amisecha always mean? Or many times mean? Amisecha means your fellow comrade in arms to a fellow Jew. In other words, says the Gemara Bechoros, if you hold that Maos Konos, if the pasuk means, if we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, Maos Konos, and when you sell something, Maos Konos Doraisa, that means it's Maos Konos, to a Jew it's Maos Konos. But since the pasuk says that that's only Lamistecha, that means to a guy it would be Mashicha that's Kona. Alternatively, if let's say we pass like Reish Lakish, that Mashicha is Kona, Midaraisa, and Maos are not Konos on a Doraisa level. So if Mashicha is Kona on a Doraisa level, that's only to a Jew, in which case to a guy would be Maos is Konos. So therefore, when I sell to a guy, what do I have to do? How do I sell to a guy? I sell to a guy the opposite of however I sell to a Jew. Wonderful. So however I sell to a Jew, however we pass him, whether like Reish Yochanan, like Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish, or the Mashicha Konos, or Maos Konos, however I sell to a Jew, I'm going to sell the opposite way to the guy. Now the question is, how do we pass him? So how do we pass him? This very fundamental machlokas, Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish. If I want to sell to a Jew, do I pass like Rav Yochanan that Moses Konos Doreisa, or that Reish Lakish, that Mashicha is Konos Doreisa? So Rashi says, Rashi in Kiddushin, says that Kesef is Kona for a Yid. Which means, let's stop there. If Kesef is Kona for a Yid, and we pass like Rav Yochanan, then how are you going to sell to a guy? It's Mashicha. So life is easy. I do Kesef for the guy. I'm sorry, I do Kesef for a Jew. I do Mashicha for a guy. And that's how I'm going to sell my Chametz with Mashicha. However, Tosis in Avodah Zarah comes and says that where is it? Rabbi Natam. Yeah. Rabbi Natam says we pass him like Rabbi Yochanan. That for a Jew, what did I just say? Hold on. I might have gotten confused. So I'm getting confused. Who holds what? Machlokas. There's a machlokas. Rav Yochanan. There's a machlokas. Rashi and Tosis. Whether we paskin like Rav Yochanan or Reish Lakish. So what do you do practically? How do you paskin? Who do we paskin like? Rashi or Tosis? Tosis in Avodah Zarah says you should do both. We don't know. We don't know how to be makna whether the raisa to a Jew. Therefore, we have to do Maos and Mashicha. If you don't know how to be Kona to a Jew, you also don't know how to be Makna to a guy. Therefore, what do you have to do? You have to do both Maos and Mashicha. Now, if you hold that you need Kesef and Mashicha in order to be Makna something, we're going to have a very serious problem regarding Mechiras Chametz. And the problem that I'm about to articulate is going to be the main point of today's shiur. The main point of today's shiur is to show why we're going to do, when you sit with the guy, and you're a Rav, and you sit with the guy opposite you, representing your community, we're going to do many, many, many kinyanim, which we'll speak about shortly. Why do you have to do many, many kinyanim? The answer is because we don't know which kinyan works, whether kesef works or mashicha works. Therefore, we have to do both. Kesef is easy to do. Kesef is the guy opposite you gives you money, a down payment, which we'll talk about later, or money. He doesn't have to pay everything on, you know, in full payments. Right now, he can give a down payment. He'll give you kesef. He'll give you a shavu pruta right now. But also, in order to definitively be makna the chafatz into the guy, you also have to do a mashicha. What's the problem? It's technically, physically, not halachically, but technically, physically impossible for him to do mashicha, because that means he's going to have to go into every single house in my neighborhood. He's going to have to go into 150 houses and lift up every last box of cereal and a noodles and Fox's schnapps. And that is a technical difficulty for him to not be, that he will not be able to do Mashiach on everything. Therefore, he's only going to be able to do Kesef, and therefore it's a suffix if I sold the chametz, the good. And I'm in big trouble. There's no way, unless you do Mashiach, again, the way I described with my babysitter, that I lifted up the bag and I handed it to her. If she gave me money, that would be even better. I gave it to her, she gives me money, it's completely hers, out of my house, and I'm good. But if it's things that the guy cannot do Mashiach on for technical reasons, then even if he gives me money, it's a suffix whether the kesef alone was sufficient to be makne the chametz. You need kesef and Mashiach, Tosfos says, to be yotze definitively your mechiras chametz. And since we do not know, I'm sorry, since we are physically unable to do a Mashiach, we will try many, many, many kinyanim, all in the hope of that one of those kinyanim will work and therefore supplant or take away the need for Mashiach, which really I need, but I'm not able to do physically. That's the main point of today's shiur. Let me say that again. In order to be yotzei mechiras chametz lechulei alma, definitively you have to do, and it's a chiyuv, I don't want to say karis, it's a chiyuv daraisa, it's a nisa daraisa of oni chametz. If you buy it, maybe it's karis also. So you're talking about a nisa of achilas karis, I'm sorry. You're talking about a nisa daraisa, so you have to do it definitively. You have to definitively get rid of your chametz. The only way to do it is with kesef and maos, and mashiach, I'm sorry, kesef and mashiach. Mashiach is physically impossible. So I'm going to do kesef, and I don't know if I fulfilled it. So what we're going to learn now is four other kinyanim that we'll do in the hope that at least one of those will work. Maybe none will work, maybe all will work, maybe one or two or three or all four will or won't work. Hopefully one of those will work, and be the other kinyan that will hopefully make the chametz definitively transfer out of my rishus into the rishus of the guy, since physically I'm not able to do Mashiach. Yeah.
Is this only true for the chametz, but the land itself?
Yes, land will be very easy to transfer, because land, we know exactly how to transfer land. The way you transfer land, the Shulchan Aruch says, is when you makne land to a guy, you do kesef plus shtar, which is very easy to do with any guy sitting in your office, in your rabbi's office, your rabbi's study, kesef plus shtar, and it's even easier when you rent land to a guy. The Shulchan Aruch says you don't even need a shtar. All you need is kesef. So it's even easier. All you have to do to rent land to a guy is he gives you money, he gives you a pruta, and you rent the land to him. No ifs, ands, or buts, there's no din of Mashiach. So renting land will be easy as pie. However, being makna the metaltalin or the bechor behema tahora will be very difficult if your guy is not sitting next to the behema and could do the Mashiach. Then he'll do kesef Mashiach. But if the guy is sitting in your office, if it's your lawyer, in your conference room in some tall tower in Chicago, where you're discussing the dairy farm that's a few hundred miles away, so then you're not going to have a kesef, you're not going to have the Mashiach. You'll have kesef, but you don't know if kesef works on its own. You have to do Mashiach also. So you're going to have to do kesef plus a whole bunch of other kinyanim in the hope that at least one of those kinyanim will work in the absence of the Mashiach that really is what you really need. Fine. Any questions? Yeah.
What's the precedent that you could just substitute the Mashiach for a bunch of other hoping?
There's no precedent whatsoever, and we're not substituting it. What I mean is that Mashiach is not possible, so I'm hoping that I know that in order to transfer me these metalton, I do kesef plus Mashiach. Maybe Rashi is right, and maybe kesef worked out itself, but maybe not. So therefore, maybe I didn't work. So I'm going to try, maybe, we'll see, maybe Kenyan B will work, hopefully. If not, maybe Kenyan C will work. If not, then hopefully Kenyan D will work. If not, hopefully Kenyan E will work. If none of those work, then I'm in big trouble. So hopefully either Rashi was right and Kesef is sufficient, or Mashiach is not possible, so either B or C or D or E will work on their own. And it's not really making, they're not turning into Mashiach, they will work independently, yeah.
This might be like a somewhat fundamental question, but if we know one for sure works,
then you don't have to do any of this.
I'm saying that we know Mashiach works. We can't do the one we know for sure.
No, Mashiach doesn't work. Mashiach and Kesef together will get us out of our suffering.
So we know that Mashiach plus Kesef works. If we don't know for the rest, why are we doing all of them? It's just to like try.
Let's talk about that, right? Yeah, we're gonna. Yeah, this is try. This tinker toy. Yeah,
and not just choose one and say like.
Yeah, we don't. You'll see. That's what we're gonna do right now. I'll show you why each one has a problem. Why we might not be able to write on any of the following four or five options. You'll see why right now. Okay. So let's now talk about what we should do as an additional kinyan, since I'm not able to physically do a mashicha. What else can I do? So let's do something very simple. Let's do a kinyan chatzer. Kinyan chatzer is great. You can be makne the chametz to the guy through kinyan chatzer. How do you do that? Very simply. First, you be makne to him the land. Once the land is his, once you even rental is sufficient. You rent to him the land where the chametz is situated. Once you rent in the land where the chametz is situated, and by the way, you did it already. Why did you do it? You already rented the land to the guy because of the din of michutz lebesa. So now it's the michutz lebesa. He already rented the land. Now it's his land that he rented from you. He could very easily be kone the chametz on sitting on his land because of kinyan chatzer. And therefore, even if kesef doesn't work, mashiach you're not doing, you'll have the kinyan chatzer. The guy will be kone with kinyan chatzer. And that sounds fabulous. So keep in mind, in order to do this kinyan chatzer, you're going to have two things. First, you'll have a kinyan on the land. He'll buy the land from you, he'll rent the land from you, he'll give you kesef for the land. I'm not talking about kesef for the chametz. That's a separate thing. Kinyan kesef for the chametz. Separate part for that, he'll give you a separate money to rent the land. Now that it's his land, you could tell him, okay, Mr. Joe, Christopher, I want you to have in mind that the chametz that's sitting, the macaroni that's sitting on the land that you rented from me with that penny for the land, the macaroni that's sitting on your land, have in mind that you want your land to acquire it for yourself. That's kinyan chatzer. Sounds great. What should be the problem with that? The problem with that is the geshmaka difficulty that the ktsos raises. We know that kinyan chatzer works through one of two media. It works either through kinyan chatzer mishum yavos rabbi or chatzer mishum shlichus es rabbi. So it's a suffix whether the chatzer is a yad of the owner of the property, or it's the shlichus of the owner of the property. Meaning the chatzer is serving as his yad to be koner for the owner of the chatzer, or it's the shlichus, the chatzer is the shlichus of the owner of the chatzer. Gentlemen, who's the owner of the chatzer in our scenario?
Mr. Brown.
Yes, you're from Riverdale. Mr. Brown is the owner of the chatzer. Mr. Brown is the owner of the chatzer, so how he's going to appoint his chatzer as a shliach to be koner for him? What's the obvious problem? Ein shlichus la'akim gemara says matem b'nei b'ris ha'shul chacham b'nei b'ris akim doesn't have shlichus. Therefore, ask the ktsos hachoshen: how in the world could chatzer work from mechiras chametz? How could the guy be koneh the chametz through his chatzer? After all, if chatzer taka works through shlichus, and a guy doesn't have is not in the bar of shlichus, therefore the guy will never be able to have the chatzer operate as the shliach of the guy, and therefore there is no kinyan chatzer by a guy. So kinyan chatzer would be great if I wanted to sell you something, and I say, just put it in my backyard, and I'll have in mind when I'm not home, drop it in my backyard, drop it on my porch, and I have in mind that I'll be kona it while it's on my porch. That would work, but that's between two yidden. But when you have a guy doesn't have shlichus, and therefore he doesn't have the ability to be kona through kinyan chatzer, and therefore if I'm selling mechiras chametz to obviously a guy, kinyan chatzer will not be an option. That is the critique of the ktsos hachoshen. So there you go. We had a great idea. We're going to use kinyan chatzer to solve all of life's problems. And all of a sudden we realize the ktsos throws this wrench into it, that maybe chatzer has this problem of chatzer lesa mishum shlichus. Goy lesa mishum shlichus. That's
when
the...
When they speak to shlichus, it's a suffix, not a problem lesa mishum shlichus. So it's a suffix whether or not we...
Yeah, so it's a suffix whether or not you sold your chametz. That doesn't sound so cool.
Sex-ega.
Doesn't sound so cool. You're getting rid of an issa, you have to take off from yourself an issa daraisa. So it's a... You got rid of your issa daraisa with... There's a suffix if you got rid of your Issa D'oraisa, and a suffix if that didn't work. Yeah, we wouldn't rely on that for chametz. We wouldn't rely on that for chametz. So what does the ktsos suggest? Let's try another kinyan. Let's try a different kinyan, kinyan agav. What's kinyan agav? Kinyan agav is not kinyan chatzer. Kinyan chatzer means that whatever is situated on my land, I will be kona. Kinyan agav means something totally different. Kinyan agav means that there's something called ikur and there's something called tafel. When you do a kinyan on an ikur, the kinyan on the ikur, the chalos kinyan, when you do a maisa on the ikur, the chalos kinyan will be chal not only on the ikur, but on the tafel as well. So there are two kinds of objects in the world. There are things that are movable objects, and there's something called real estate. Did you ever wonder why real estate is called real estate? I'll give you a hint, because it's real. It's always there. Nothing could ever happen to it. It's always going to be considered an ikur. It's the ikur. Whenever you do a kinyan on metaltalin and on and on real estate. The Iker is the real estate, and the Metaltlin will be tertiary, will be secondary, will be tafel. In other words, will be acquired agav the kinnis. So when you do a kinnin on the real estate, hold on a second, you do. I'm explaining like Rav Shimon explains in Shari Yosha. I'm explaining. When you do a kinnin on the real estate, what's really, you could choose to piggyback, hence the word agav, on the piggy, on the back of the real estate kinyan, which is the ikur kinyan, to also allow the kinyan on the real estate to be chal, there will be chal a transfer of the ownership of the metaltlin as well. So, what can we do here in by Mechiras Chametz? I can be makne to the guy a little bit of land. I have chametz. I want to get right. This is Uri Orlean's chametz. Only 4 days old. I could be makna this. I could be makna a piece of land to the guy, and what he does, the maisa kinin on the karka, which is easy because for karka to rent land, all you need to do is give kasef. So as he's being kona the ikker, this will be schlepped along, and that's kinin aga. So we just found a way to be makna the chametz to the guy. I will do a kinin on land, which we said 5 times already. I'm anyway doing. I did it for 2 reasons so far. I did it once because I wanted to get the chametz outside of my bias into the base social guy. I did it because I wanted him to have chatzer. Now we have yet a third reason why I'm going to be makna the kinyan to the land to the guy, but not so that he could own the land and then his land will be kona the stuff sitting on it. That's chatzer. Agav means that the mice, the kinyan of the land, that mice will be chal instantaneously, simultaneously, I should say, as the that will schlep along the kinyan of the metaltlin. Give me a second. Now, this raises a number of issues. Before we raise the issues, we should know that both the Ketzos and the Noda B'Yehuda, I want to read to you an incredible line from the Beis Din in Prague. The Noda B'Yehuda wrote the following letter that was transcribed in the Shailos HaTshuvos Shivas Tzion. He says, I'm copying the Ksav Yad of my father, the Noda B'Yehuda, word for word. This is the Seder Mechiras Chametz here in Prague. Listen to what the Noda B'Yehuda says that he did, that how did they do Mechiras Chametz in Prague? Hayose tov umuvchar shebedrachim lahaknos hachametz leinu Yehudi agav hacheder. To use kinyan agav. So therefore, when I will rent the guy the land, I'll rent him land. Now which land do I have to rent him? Here, there's a difference between chatzer and agav. Chatzer is only kona the chafatim that are situated on top of the land. Agav has nothing to do with location. If I have a yacht in Dubai, you knew that, right? I have a yacht in Dubai. I'd like to sell it to you. So what I could do is I could be makna to you a dalit by dalit, or maybe even less than that, plot of land in my backyard in the Five Towns. And when you kona that piece of land, agav that, you'll be kona the metaltlin, you'll be kona the yacht in Dubai. That wouldn't work for chatzer. It does work for agav. So, that's how we'll be makna the chametz. I'm makna to you, we said already that I'm going to be makna to you the land, so I'll be makna to the land. And before we talk about the fact that, oh, once it's his, then he could be kona the things that are situated on that, even before that happens, as I'm being makna to the goy, this little bit of land, along with it, schlepped along with that kinyan of the land, will be the tafel to the land, which is the kinyan of the metaltlin. And that will be another kinyan. So it sounds like agav is great. The Noda B'Yehuda says agav is the best kinyan. The Ketzos says the best kinyan is agav. So let me just finish this and I'll take your questions. The question is, okay, so if agav is working, so why do I have to be worried about other things? Why should I even try to do kesef and try to do chatzer and do others which we haven't yet gotten to? Agav sounds like it's a great kinyan. Rabosai, where do we know kinyan agav from? Agav the pasht is the kinyan d'rabbanan. So how in the world could the kinyan d'rabbanan get rid of your iser, chametz, midoraisa? That's the problem with agav. The problem with agav is if agav is the kinyan d'rabbanan, how could a kinyan midorabbanan transfer the chametz? Midoraisa, you still own this chametz. You're doing a kinyan d'rabbanan to push it out from your bailus to the bailus of the guy, midoraisa, you still own it. So how does that get rid of your isidoraisa chametz? That's the problem with agav. That's why you will do kesef, Kessel might not be enough. You might need a Mashiach. So we'll do Chatzer. Chatzer might not be enough because we might hold that there's no Shlichus for a guy. I'll do Agav. Agav might not be enough on its own because it's only Kinder Rabbanan. So we're going to have to continue. Yes, what was your question?
In terms of doing Kinder Agav and having Chomets in different time zones, would that be a problem?
No, because this has nothing to do with... the Agav is not done b'shas Issa Chomets. The Kinyana that we do with the guy is going to be before the Zman Issa Chomets. We'll talk about different times at the end of the year if we have time, but that won't be a problem. Yeah.
Would we really be saying that the Agav here will only
yes.
be this Kinyan Agav to try to...
Real estate...
Your intention here is only...
It doesn't matter. Real estate by definition is always chashuv. In the same way, let me ask you a question. Let's say you don't like cake. But the cream, you know those cream cakes? Lots of cream, you love cream cakes. Regular cake you don't like. So you see a piece of cake, lots of cream inside, a little bit of cake on top, a little bit of cake on the bottom. What bracha do you make on that? You love cream. What bracha are you going to make? What? Exactly. The mezonos is not going to be bought because the mezonos by definition is the ikur. Same thing, real estate by definition is real. It's the ikur. And therefore, it's always, everything else will always be tough to it. Yeah.
Is it muskum that Kinyan derabanan means that on the right level it wasn't chav?
Let's talk about that right now. So what does it mean that we just said that maybe the problem with agav is that it might not be, it's only derabanan. If it's only derabanan, maybe it shouldn't work. I want to tell you a geshmak alumnus of Reb Shimon Shkup, why even though agav is only kin derabanan, it could still work. Listen to this. This happens to be my favorite piece of lumdus for this year. It has a question on it, but it's a geshmak piece of lumdus. There's a big chakir. When you learn Ketzim Mevarchim, any of you learn Ketzim Mevarchim? You're learning brachas. You're not doing Ketzim Mevarchim? Are you not doing brachas here? Okay. So Ketzim Mevarchim is a big chakir that goes throughout the whole perek. When you have ikur and tafel, I have a bagel and a cream cheese. Is pshat that the hamotzi that I'm making on the bagel is a hamotzi that is on a bagel and is also on cream cheese? And therefore, the cream cheese got a bracha. Nor vas, it got a bracha of hamotzi. Is that pshat? Or is pshat that when you have an ikur and tafel, the cream cheese, which is tafel, doesn't need a bracha. Tafel doesn't need a bracha. Meaning, is the reason why you don't have to make a bracha on a tafel because it did get a bracha. The bracha of the ikur was the bracha on the tafel. Or that's because it's tafel, it doesn't need a bracha. You hear that? You have a salad. You have a salad that's watermelon, cantaloupe, honeydew, and some sliced grapes. Sliced grapes are hates, right? So they're batel because they're a the vast minority. So the hadama that you made on the watermelon covers the grapes. Is pshat that the grapes don't need a bracha? Or is pshat that the grapes had a bracha on it? So if you learn Ketzim Mevarchim, which I happen to be learning right now, and it happens to be, the maskar of the poskim is that the hamotzi that you make on the cream cheese and the cream cheese bagel, the hamotzi is chal on the cream cheese. This cream cheese, yes, had a bracha. Those grapes in your melon salad did get a bracha. They got a bracha of hadama. The cream cheese got a bracha of hamotzi, but you can't eat something without a bracha. Everything got a bracha, but the bracha of the ikur goes on the tafel. Says Shari Yosher, says Reb Shimon the following. When you have an ikur and a tafel by cream cheese bagel, you also could have that by kinyanim. You do a kinyan of the ikur, that's called aga, real estate, and aga of that, the metalton are schlepped along. Says Reb Shimon, what kinyan is chal on the metaltolin? A kinyan midah? A kinyan midoraisa. The kinyan of the karka is chal on the metal. Just like the bracha of the hamotzi is chal on the cream cheese, so too the kinyan that you did on the. It's not that when you do kinyan agav, you do a kinyan of metal of the real estate and the things that are tafel to it, like the metalin, don't need a kinyan. Of course they need a kinyan, but the kinyan of the real estate, the kinyan of the ikur is chal. That kinyan of the real estate is chal on the metaltolin. The kinyan on the real estate is what I'm actually transferring with the kesef or the shtar, and that's chal midaraisa. So the kinyan midaraisa that was chal on the real estate, agav tells you that it could be chal on the kinyan midaraisa could be chal on the metaltolin. So therefore, according to this lamed of Rav Shimon, we can answer our question: How could a kinyan derabbanan work to take care of your issur d'oraisa v'ani chametz with this lomdus of kinyan agav, like Rav Shimon is telling us, the point is that the kinyan on the real estate of the ikur is chal on the metaltlin, and therefore it ends sof davar konishma that a kinyan d'oraisa did happen on the metaltlin, and therefore the kinyan d'oraisa of the chatzer did, I shouldn't say the chatzer, of the property, of the land, of the real estate, did, was chal on the Cheerios, on the macaroni, and therefore the macaroni was transferred with a kinyan mide d'oraisa. That's the lamdas of Rav Shimon to answer this kasha. And therefore we might be able to understand in a little bit why, even though agav is only kinyan midrabanu, it might still work for a kinyan midaraisa. That's one lamdas. Yeah?
What does it mean that it's a kinyan midrabanu? It sounds like it's a kinyan midraisa.
Good question. Good question. We'll leave it for now, because that's not going to help me. I always say things that help me. Okay. But yeah, you're asking a good question. I have a different question. Rabosai, how many of you have chametz in your property this year? I assume every one of you. How many of you will be doing a mechiras chametz? Okay, great. How many of you own land to transfer to the guy to do the kinyan agav? Aha. So this is going to be a very serious problem. You plan to sell your chametz. The Nodav Yehuda and the Ketzos both said that the main kinyan for Mechiras Chametz is through kinyan agav. In order to do kinyan agav, you have to give your land, and as you're giving your land, you're giving him also the chametz agav, the land, and you're telling him that none of you have land to give to the guy. Okay, let's take a step back. What about, how many of you rent land? How many of you rent apartments? Okay, is anyone in the dorm? Okay, is that considered renting? They could switch your dorm room every day. I don't know if you have a kinyan schiris on that dorm room that you have. I'm not convinced. This shaila was asked to the Rashba in a fascinating story. The following story happened, and you can imagine where it went. A chassan and a kala get engaged. Maybe the chassan did not have so much going for him. Maybe he wasn't in smicha, and in order for him to get the girl to say yes, he made a deal with her. Ad chatzi amalchas. We get married, you get half of my wealth. Good deal. I think in English they call that a gold digger, right? Something like that? Something like that. I don't think it's a nice word, but yeah. So she was a gold digger, and she finds a chatz with a lot of money. And as you can only imagine, what happened while they're engaged, engagement breaks off. So she's left without a chatz, but at least she comes out with a lot of money, and the next guy will be much quicker to find, right? Every shiur bach wants to find that girl has a lot of money, and he'll be able to stay learning a lot longer. So at least that she has. Oh, but this guy was a smart guy. He says to his ex, Kala, I was makna to you half of my wealth with a kinyan agav. Albrich bin Abachar. I don't have a house. I don't rent a property. I lived in my parents' house. I lived in yeshiva. I don't own any property. So I was makna to you the half of my wealth, all the gold and silver, half of whatever gold and silver I have. Through agav, but I don't have, the agav is based on a kinyan karka. I don't have any karka to give you. So upon which we could have the agav that go along, the metaltan to go along. And this shaila went to the Rashba. And the Rashba came out with a tremendous psak. The Rashba says that kinyan agav, and the way kinyan agav was set up by Chazal, is that not only will kinyan agav work if you makna karka, not only will work if you makna something that you have a schiris on, but even if you have, listen to this, the Rashba says, a makam in the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis HaMedrash, you could give the rights of your makam in the Beis HaMedrash over to the recipient, in our case the guy, in that case his kala, and through that, transfer that real estate, even though it's only a less than a schiris, it's only a hishtamshus, kinyan agav could be chal on that, and the metaltan could be transferred agav that. Rabosai, do all of you have a makam in the Beis HaMedrash? Yes. Baruch, yes. Just say yes. Say yes. You all have a makom in the Beis HaMedrash, you have a makom in Yishul, and therefore, even though you don't have a bialis in a property, even though you don't have a schiris necessarily in a property, but you have a makom in the Beis HaMedrash, if you're homeless and you're not a ben Torah, then aga will talk be a problem. Yeah?
You have a makom all day.
And it doesn't say you have to have a makom. You have a makom for morning Seder, morning for afternoon Seder. Okay. Question? Good. Okay. That was all regarding aga. So, Lamaisa agav also. So, what am I going to do? I want to transfer my chametz to the guy. I have to do kesef and mashicha. The problem is, to be certain. The problem is they can't do Mashiach because it's physically impossible. So I'm going to do Kesef and hope that maybe the Chatzar will work. Chatzar might not work because it's maybe Shlichus and it doesn't work for a guy. So I'll also do Agav. Agav might not work because it's Drabanan. Let's see what else we could do. So the Pesukim say, let's do a Kinyan Chalipin. Chalipin is great because Chalipin is the easiest Kinyan in the world. You don't need Karka. You don't need to rent to have a Makam in the Beis Medrash. Chalipin is. We pass him a Chalukah as Rav and Levi, I think. Rav and Shmuel, Rav and Levi. Kehel Shalkona, Kehel Shalmaka. We pass in Kehel Shalkona. So all you have to do is the guy wants to buy the chametz. All he has to do is give you a baseball cap, pen, tie, cell phone. Can't give you money. Money doesn't work for chalipin. The guy will give me any item of his, and he will therefore acquire through kinyan chalipin the chametz. That sounds great. Can anyone think of a problem why chalipin might not work for mechiras chametz? Chalipin is a very geshmaka kinyan. I'll tell you why.
What?
Hold on. I'll tell you why chalipin is a geshmaka kinyan. Who learned Hilchas Avelos? Okay? Half of you learned Hilchas Avelos. It's halacha in Hilchas Avelos that the avel is not allowed to work. Not only is the avel not allowed to work, but his business, that's nikra al shmo, is not allowed to operate. So let's say you have a law firm called Klein and Klein. Klein and Friedman. Friedman and Jacobowitz. Now, I don't know any of you. I don't know any of your names. I don't know if any of you are lawyers or have your own law firms. But let's say. So if Klein is in Avelos, that means Jacobowitz, since the name is Nikra Al-Shua, is not allowed to go to work that week. Not only is the non-Avel partner not allowed to go to work, but the 25 paralegals and secretaries are not allowed to go to work either. Let's say you have a doctor. A doctor has a partner, another partner to cover him on, you know, when each one is off. And they have secretaries, and they have nurses, and they have medical personnel, and they have medical billers. All those people have to not work for all week for the full week of Shiva. Now, for some businesses, that's very, very difficult. So there is a possibility of a shtar mechira before Avel sits in, while the person is still alive. If they know that their relative is about to die, they should sell their business to a Jew. If they didn't do it when the person is still alive, then they should do it while they're still owning it before the Avelos starts. So, Ma'aseh Shehaya, this happens to me occasionally, a few times a year. There's a guy who owns a business in my neighborhood, and he's in my shul, and, father, mother, somebody passes away, so he's an Avel now. He's not going to be able to close his business. He has 45 employees, and they work, he can't just have his business. He might not be a partner, he might not even be the owner of the business. But he's not allowed to own his business. Business is not allowed to operate. So what do? Easy as pie. Kehel Shalkona. He comes into my house. I go to him. He just lost his relative. So he's like, I go to his house, you know, the night before the Levaya. I say, I'm going to give you my yarmulke. I'll give you my glasses, and you'll give me your company. So I give him $5 to pay for the company. I give him my glasses because it's Kehel Shalkona. I do Kinyan Chalipin, and I am now the proud owner of his company. I will have you know that there was a week in my life that I owned a company upwards worth $100 million. There was a whole week that I owned it, almost a week, whatever, because Mitzvah Yom Kippur. 6 days that I owned a company that's well upwards of $100 million, it was all mine. I owned all of it. Every last bit of the company, it was all mine for a good 6 days. And then at the end of 6 days, I sold it back there for the $5. So, but at least for that week, I felt, you know, on top of the world. So Chalipin is very convenient. So Chalipin can work for a guy. What should be the problem? I'll sell my Kehel Shalkona. The guy will give me his pen knife, his pen, his baseball cap. That's usually what Eddie gives me. And what could be the problem with that? What did you say?
Together, Chalipin.
I give you an item, and you transfer to me all the things that you want to be matched.
Is it there?
It's actually a pasuk in Rus. You know the pasuk. You're getting again into a machlokas Rambam and Ramban and the Sharashim in Sefer HaMitzvos, a pasuk in Nach. Does that mean that it's only Drabanan, or does that mean that it's a gilid? That was the halacha from this man of the Torah, it's a din d'oraisa. That's a discussion of the Sharashim of the Ramban and the Rambam. Let's assume it's d'oraisa. Maybe it's not, but let's assume it's d'oraisa. Let's get that. That's a different issue. What else could be a problem with Chalipin from Mechiras Chametz? Does anyone know which pasuk I'm referring to? Yeah? Do you know the beginning of that pasuk? Zosatuda.
Zero.
Oh, what? Zosatuda be?
Yisrael.
Yisrael. Shalaf Yishna Lav Nasan Reyehu. Zos Lefnim Yisrael, right? Zos Lefnim Yisrael. Al Hagula Val Tumura Lekayin Kodo Shalaf Yishna Lav Nasan Reyehu. Zosatuda be Yisrael. Did you notice two words that appear prominently in this pasuk? So maybe, once again, maybe Chalit Bin only works for Yisrael. And therefore, that works when I want to buy the company from the guy who's an onin and wants to get rid of his company, then it will work, because I'm Jewish, he's Jewish, that's great. But who's to say that when I want to buy, when I want to sell my chametz to a guy, that he could use chalipa to acquire chametz, he's not a Yisrael. So that is the problem with chalipa. So therefore, maybe chatzar worked, maybe it didn't. Maybe agav worked, maybe it didn't. Maybe kesef worked, maybe it didn't. I hope one of them worked. Okay, let's move on. There's still another one or two kinyanim that we're going to do. The Magen Avraham and many of the Achronim say we'll also try to use kinyan situmta. Situmta is a machlokas, and the Gemara says that you could be caught something with situmta. It's a big machlokas what that means. Machlokas Rishonim, I don't remember who says what. Rashi says that the situmta was a, let's say a guy had barrels of wine in the beginning of the year. Beginning of the year, you have a bunch of barrels. The wine seller has a bunch of barrels, and you want to buy one of the barrels, but you're not going to take them now because they're not even ready. They have to age for another 4 months. But you come at the beginning of the year, you put a mark on that barrel, that's the situmta, and then 4 months later, we know that that was your barrel. That's one opinion. Can I ask you a question? What transferred the ownership of the barrel to the buyer? Kesef might not work. Mashiach, he didn't do. It's a big barrel. There's no agav. There's no chalipin. What about putting the seal on the barrel at the beginning of the season made it belong to the purchaser? The answer is, as some Rishonim say, this is derech hasochr. The normal way in that time in the wine business is that when you would put the seal that had the purchaser's name on the barrel, that was a way of saying, deal done. It now belongs to the purchaser. So derech hasochr, that's what kinyan situmta is. And therefore, however, and a specific industry has industry standard of how transactions occur, that serves as a kinyan. Yeah, kinyan derabanan, shvai derabanan. So for example, the classical case that was used for many decades in the 1900s was on Wall Street or 47th Street when the majority of the dealers were Hasidim. The way a deal happened on Wall Street was not with document, was not with an electronic transfer, but it was with a handshake and saying the two words, Mazel Ubracha. So you have a Pakistani guy, you have an Indian dealer, they shake hands on 47th Street, Mazel Ubracha, deal's done. No one could back out at whatever price was set for the diamond. That was industry standard. That's Kinyan Situmta. And therefore, if two Jews would make that Kinyan and shake hands and say the words Mazel Ubracha, so it's chal completely. The transfer has, the Kinyan has been effective. So we could say that so too. How do people make deals nowadays? Handshakes, perhaps. So therefore, part of the process when we sit with the guy opposite us is I will transfer the chametz to him with among all the other kinyanim. I will also do with him a handshake. And that will be the way that we finalize the deal. But just to show what I mean. When you lease a car, when does the car become yours? When you buy a car. When you buy a car from the dealership, when does it become yours? No. Not when you start driving. Before that. That would be Mashiach. That would work. But it's yours beforehand. Correct. When you sign the lease or you sign the contract. That doesn't work. Shtar doesn't work for Metaltalin. That shouldn't work alpi halacha. But yet it works. Why? Because it's Situmta. That's Derech HaSochr. That's how it's done in America. So therefore, we will also do this Situmta, which is a handshake, as the Achronim say, a Handschlug. 30 seconds. A handshake will work as a kinyan situmta. What's the problem with situmta? Number one, it's also derabanan. So if derabanan don't work for daraisas, that's one issue. Number two, there are other rishonim, I believe Rabbi Chananel possibly, other rishonim say that that's not what the Gemara meant when it said that there's something with a situmta. The Gemara said that a situmta was a something called a situmta that you would hand to the other guy, and that would transfer the something was handed over. There was actually a mashicha. A different way of translating the word situmta, not to mean anything to do with a kinyan of derech hasochra. And therefore, the whole fundamental work, you know, whether or not there's this kinyan called derech hasochra, is fundamentally subject to machlokas rishonim, whether there exists such a thing called the kinyan of derech hasochra. And therefore, there might not be such a kinyan at all in the world. And therefore, it might not work. So therefore, I hope one of the other ones work. Yes?
If Sikhita was working, why would we look for anything fancier other than just saying, okay, it's not even Kassif, and Kassif is gone?
If Sikhita works, then I don't have to do anything. You're right. The problem is Sikhita might not work. And that's why I'm going to do Kassif, and Chatzir, and Agav, and Chalipin, and Sikhita. I don't know if any of these are going to work. I hope one of them will work. And as I mentioned that Situnta might also have it, Situnta has its own problems, we'll go to yet the last kinyan that we'll talk about today, and that's a kinyan Odisa. Kinyan Odisa is, we know that Hodos Baldi Kamei Egim Tami, and therefore, sometimes by being moda that something belongs to you, that can make it belong to you. In other words, I stand in front of a Bezdin, and I say, in front of you three guys, you're a Chashur Bezdin, and I say, my watch is really David's. So my say, the very fact that I say my watch is David's, I'm moda, I do a hodas faldin, k'me eidim dami that this is David's, that will make it belong to David. How does that work? Maybe it's like a nether, maybe it's some other mechanism. That's not for right now. But that's another thing that I don't think Rabbi Willig did. I don't remember Rabbi Willig doing Odisa, but I've seen other. In the five times they do an Odisa, the Beis Din sits down. You know, they have three Rabbanim there, and the three Rabbanim say, we, as a Beis Din, the person who represents all the sellers, the rabbi who represents all the sellers, says in front of three other Rabbanim, all the chametz belongs to Eddie. And since it's said in front of, I think you need a Beis, not just Edim, there's a Hadas Baal Din that therefore makes it Eddie's. That's yet a sixth kinyan that we do. So, Osach HaKol, we would love to do Kesef and Mashiach. If we did a Mashiach with Kesef, we'd be covered. Problem is, we can't do Mashiach just for technical reasons in our modern day communal Mechiras Chametz. Therefore, to take the place of the Mashiach that needs to be done, we'll not only do Kesef, we'll therefore also do Chatzer, Agav, Chalipin, Situmta, and Odisa. So, Osach HaKol, the rabbi is going to be doing six kinyanim. Now you understand the conversation that guy who called up Rabbi Schechter with the, you know, with the cow, and was a little confused because he said, oh my gosh, now I have to do the sale for this cow with the guy, and these six things would be how he would be machne the cow to the guy in the, who again, if there would be a farmhand, Gentile farmhand on the farm who could just do a meshicha and buy it with kesef, that would be enough. But if there's nobody on the farm to do the, no guy on this dairy farm to be kone the cow with the meshicha, and give kesef, and thereby definitively solve whatever sekus we have. So therefore, the lawyer in the office, in the tower in downtown Chicago, the Gaisha lawyer, and the Jewish owner of this company, will be able to do, the owner of this dairy farm with his lawyer, will be able to do all these kinyanim, like I would do with a guy on Mechiras Chametz, all these six kinyanim, yeah.
Can we just add more sekus though?
We didn't add sekus, because if any one of these works, then you're covered.
But
you're only in trouble if none of these work.
I'm saying, but when you had a Mashiach and Kesef, the concern was that maybe...
No, if you have a Mashiach and Kesef, then you're covered l'chol,
you can't definitively. Do Mashiach.
Correct. That's right. So we're hoping, we're doing many things hoping that one of them will work. You know what it's like? It's like somebody has a bacterial infection, and it's really bad. It's deadly. You have to make sure you get it. So give them this antibiotics. But that antibiotics might not work. So what should we do? Give him a different one. But that one also might not work. So you know what you should do? Give him a third antibiotic. But that might not be the right one. If you don't treat it, he's going to die. So they might treat him simultaneously with four different antibiotics with the hope that at least one of them works. If one of them works, then you saved him.
But the whole concern is that, you know, this device that you need to get away from. So at what point do we say, meaning why is this the number that we've chosen?
Because this is all we have. If you have another idea, we'll do it. We don't have any others in our arsenal. We don't have any other suggestions. If you have another kinyan that we could do, we'll do it. But this is basically all. You know, maybe Achron found another one that you could. You know, Dalet Amos. What are you going to have him walk within Dalet Amos of every single piece of chametz? Also, again, this is what we have. Shtar doesn't work for metalton. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Shtar, I'll have Sadr Shtar works for metalton. Some do a seventh, and they do a kinyan Shtar as well. The documents that you have in front of you, I want to look at them briefly so you can appreciate. There are two documents. Number one is when the family, the congregant, meets the rabbi. That's the authorization sale for chametz. I want to show you two or three things. Number one is the important point that we made in the top paragraph, that besides selling the chametz, not to the rabbi, but through the rabbi to the guy, the congregant also has to lease the location to the guy. And we said now we know three reasons why. Reason number one is because it has to be mechutz lebeiso, so this will make it the base of the guy. Number two is that the guy could do a kinyan chatzar. Number three, through the transfer of the real estate, he'll also be kohen of the chametz, that's kinyan agav. So three reasons. So why do we have the address? Why can't I just say, I'm not going to do everything that I own? You could, but there's more smichas das, especially if part of the kinyan is where that he's going to own the land where this chametz is situated, and the chametz is situated there. If you don't designate where it is, there's a lack of smichas das. So it's better to have more smichas das, to make it as serious as you can. So therefore we have the where he lives, the location where it is, the value. People, whenever I have a man and you ask him to put a value of his pantry, men have no clue. They just write like, okay, $2,000. I said, that means that you have $2,000, means you have, sure it is, it's $5 a box. So that's $400 boxes of Cheerios. And then he looks, you know, perplexed for a minute. He says, no, maybe like, you know, $200. So you just have to write the amount that the chametz actually is worth, not the everything, like all the tomato sauce is not what you're selling. So that's not important. Now, different time zones. This is what you asked, so it comes different time zones. So there are two issues to speak about. Number one, let's speak about the less thought of issue. Let's say I'm selling chametz here in New York, and you're going to be in Arizona with all the chashuva people. Or you're going to be in L.A. You're from L.A., right?
No.
No, who's from L.A.? No, from L.A. here? No, from L.A.? Whole shit, no, from L.A.? Okay. So, so somebody's from L.A., so I'm going to sell his chametz. That's great. When is there going to be a problem? Matzah Yom Tov, we're going to buy the chametz back from the guy. What time is it? Let's say it's going to be 8 p.m., 8:30 p.m. New York time. We buy the chametz back to the guy, and it'll go transfer back to all of the families who participated in my shul, who used me as their shliach to sell to the guy. But wait a second, if you're in Arizona, if you're in L.A., it's still 5:30 in the afternoon. You haven't even gotten to your last day of Pesach barbecue by the pool. And yet, you're already going to be owning chametz, chas v'shalom? So therefore, you have to tell the balabatim, if you're taka on the west coast, you have to have kavana, that you're not interested in being kona, your chametz back after Pesach, till Pesach is over. Fine. What happens if somebody's on the east, when somebody's in Eretz Yisrael, somebody's in Europe? So then, you have a different issue. When do we sell chametz? The rabbi meets with the guy on Erev Pesach in the morning, in the Zman, Isser Chametz. In the Zman, where chametz is Asr to eat, before it's Asr to own. At that very, that last hour, after the Zman of Achil is over, then that's when we sell the chametz. But if you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's already, it could be Pesach, or even if it's not Pesach, it's already the after Chatzos and Erev Pesach, when it's Asr to rest on chametz. So such a person is in big trouble. So what do we do? I don't know what we do.
Sell it early.
There's a separate mechira for those rabbis who have balbatim, who are in Europe or in Israel. They do a separate mechira the night before, what's called mechira Siv Gimel. If you notice, on top of my page, I have, this shtar happens to be a 13 Nisan, a mechira for Yud Gimel, and I will do this shtar. I will sell the chametz for these balabatim the night before when I sell the as opposed to the ones that I sell for the majority of the balabatim on the morning of the next day. So I meet with the guy two separate times. One more thing, and that's a shtick that I have that not everybody does, but it's a geshmaka, it's a helpful. If you don't have any chametz, do you have to do bedikas chametz? What? That was sort of an oxymoron, because how do you know you don't have any chametz? You only know you don't have any chametz because you did a bedikah chametz. Okay, next question. If you don't own land, if you don't own a house, do you have to do bikkas chametz?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You don't own a house. What are you going to be bodik?
The apartment you're in.
You don't own an apartment.
So
you're not renting an apartment.
The house.
So if you don't have a place, okay, that's a good point. But I don't know if there's a takana drabbanan on a clothing. There might only be a takana drabbanan on a bias. So there's one could argue that if you don't have a house, or you won't be in a house on Pesach, you don't have to do bedik on that house. I'm not getting into that sugya, but there is a Rav Yada who says that that's not the case. There's a mitzvah drabbanan called bedikas chametz. Are you Jewish? Did you put on tefillin this morning? Do you make brachas? Do you daven shacharis? Do you recite Kriyashim every morning? Well, if you put on tefillin and you say Kriyashim every morning, you should also do the mitzvah drabbanan called bedikas chametz. So if there's a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz, what happens with the following situation? So Mr. Friedman is going to Arizona with his 4 children and his 27 grandchildren. Right? The only reason why he's spending $174,000 for a week is so he shouldn't have to clean his house. He comes to you to sell his chametz, and you remind him, remember, do bedikas chametz before you get on the plane. Before you get on your private, before you fly private for your, you know, do your bedikas chametz. He says, Rabbi, why do you think I'm spending $178,000 so I don't have to do bedikas chametz, so I don't have to clean my house? It's all a waste. So I say, okay, so I have an idea. Mr. Friedman, you could sell your house to the guy before the Sha'as bedikas chametz. When does the Sha'as bedikas chametz chal? At Chashecha on your Dalet, right when your Dalet begins. If you sell your house to the guy, or I mean rent your house to the guy, for a few minutes before Shkia, and you get to the, you have your, you schedule your private jet for, you know, 7:22 Shkia for 7:15. You're out of New York, or you're out of your house before that. You could sell it, so you don't own a house. But Shas Bedikas Chametz. He says, Rabbi, that's a great idea, and hopefully he'll write you a nice check because you solved the problem of him having to do Bedikas Chametz. But that's not so firm of him, right? Because he just was mevatel in mitzvah Aseh Darabanan called Bedikas Chametz. It's the first mission Pesachim, right? First few Mishnayos in Pesachim. So some folks can say that if you don't have a house, you don't have a mitzvah. But Rav Yosh says, no, just like there's a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz, just like there's a mitzvah to do tefillin and shvach, there's a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz. But he doesn't want to, because that's the whole reason why he's going away. So the Chasam Sofer came up with a tremendous einfeld, tremendous creative solution, and that's the solution that I have here in this third section, which says, also complete this part only if you'll be away for all of Pesach, and do not intend to do bedikas chametz on your entire home. You could rent out your house to the guy, and therefore you don't have to do bedikas chametz in the house. But, says Rav Yah, then you're not being from. Meaning, there are some shittas to hold that you're not, there's a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz. But then you have to do bedikas chametz, your whole house, that's very hard. So the Chasam Sofer suggests the following, which you see here in my language, that I will lease the guy the house, so I don't have to do bedikas on the chametz, on the house, but I will retain for myself the ownership throughout all of Pesach of one room. Mr. Friedman, which room is a room that is chayav b'dikas chametz, that you bring chametz into your house all year, but it will be really easy for you to clean? Your bedroom, your office, your living room, your den, your playroom. There is chametz there, so it's chayav b'dika. But you could do it in 20 minutes. Take that room, leave it to yourself, keep it as your own room, and therefore you'll be chayav on a b'dika, and you'll say a bracha there. The rest of the house is rented to the guy before Chashecha on your Dalet, before the Leil B'dikas Chametz sets in. And this way you can have your cake and eat it too. You don't have to do B'dikas Chametz in your whole house, but you are fulfilling the mitzvah of B'dikas Chametz, at least in one room that you are retaining for yourself. So if you look at the Lashon, that's how I specifically authorized Rabbi Orlian to sell all Chametz and, underlined, and to lease my entire home, right? So now I don't have to do B'dikas on my house, but we'll look at the parentheses. With the exception of my playroom, which I intend to clean for chametz. So this is the Chasam Sofer. Again, most, not necessarily the Ora, but I have this option, but when I saw the Chasam Sofer, I realized it's a great way to have your cake and eat it too. Fine. Let's finish off with some very practical understandings of just the practical aspects of Mechiras Chametz. So somebody comes to you and says, Rabbi Orlian, I don't understand. I have chametz worth... guy came to my house from my office, Mechiras Chametz, 2 years ago, and he said, he put down at the cost for schnapps, he put down $5,000. I said, David, $5,000 of schnapps. That's a nice collection you have. He said, actually, it's just two bottles. I said, really? That's pretty impressive. He said, yeah, I bought it for investment. That's a new investment. He said, look it up. What was it called? I don't remember. One of the names, Macaulay, 30-year. I don't remember, the rest of it. I looked it up. I said, David, it's not $5,000. It's $3,800 each, and you have two of them. It's $7,600. By now, it's probably well over $10,000 for those two bottles. Why was I telling you that? Oh, so Rabbi Orlin, I just sold you $10,000 worth of chametz. Where's my money? This is a comment that is running through the mind of every one of your less educated balabatim. Like, this is all a farce, right? I'm selling the chametz. When you sell things, don't you get paid for them? I'm selling the chametz. Where's the money? So let's just talk about that so that you could explain very clearly to them. When you buy a couch in Macy's for $1,000 with a layaway plan, you pay $100 this month, and for the next 9 months, you pay another $100 monthly. Who owns the couch tomorrow after you paid your $100 down payment with your layaway plan? You own the couch 100%. And if your kids rip it up to shreds and jump on it and break it, it's your problem, not Macy's problem, unless you have a guarantee on it. So what happened? You did a kinyan with what? With $100. You did a kinyan cancel with your $100. And Zop and Olav Milver, they made the $900 outstanding. They didn't say you own one-tenth of the couch. They say you own the entirety of the couch right now, but there's 900 outstanding loans. Zop and Olav Milver. That's exactly what happens with the guy. On the day of that he does Mechiras Chametz, we sell with Kinyan Kesef, with one pruta, the value in terms of the sale, besides the Kinyanim to transfer, the sale, which happens with, for he's giving me value, I sell him the Chametz that I own, $10,000, with a pruta down payment. That doesn't mean I sold it for a pruta. It means I sold it for $10,000. I sold it according to regular market value. Regular market value, as will be determined by three experts in the field. That's what it says in the other document. Three experts in the field will determine that it's $10,000. Those $10,000 he owes me. Right now he gave a pruta. He gave a dollar, let's say. And now, as of Erev Pesach, he owns the chametz entirely, forever and ever and ever. And besides the chametz that he owns, he has an outstanding debt that he owes me, $9,999. Now, when should this outstanding debt be payable? So Macy's worked it out that the first of every month, the next 10 months, that's when their debt is payable. I'm a rabbi, and I'm sitting with Eddie, and I want to know, when should I make this debt that he owes me come into, that he has to pay up his debt? When would be a good time for him to pay me back? What? I don't want to wait till he consumes it.
Right after Pesach.
Yeah, that's a very convenient time. How about half an hour after Pesach? That's when he owes me the $9,999. That's when he'll pay me. That's when this debt is due. So what's he going to do after Pesach? Remember, the chametz is entirely his, 100%. But there's an outstanding loan of $9,999. Okay, after Pesach, we meet in my office. I say, Eddie, you owe me a lot of money. Because this one balabast, you owe $9,999, and I have another $150 balabatim. So you owe me about, without any businesses, $250,000. Please pay me in cash now. What could he say? He could say yes, and he'll pay me $250,000, and I'll have to divide it up among my balabatim, according to the cost of their... What else could we do?
Sell back.
I'm not interested in other sales. I just want... Sell back, that's different. He has a loan that he has to pay back. He has a loan that's due. What are we going to do about this loan that's due?
Lost more time.
I don't think that's going to help him. For him to save up $250,000, that's not going to be so convenient for him, and so he's not going to want to do it next year. My balabatim and I are interested in waiting. So what could he do? Mivatel the sale, chas v'shalom. God forbid. I have a very good idea. He could repay his loan. There are different ways to repay loans. You could repay your loans in dollar bills. You could repay your loans in quarters. You could repay your loan legally in pennies. It's legal tender. You know what else you could repay your loan in? In Shavah Kesef Kekesef. I have a very good idea of what Shavah Kesef Kekesef he could repay his loan in.
Thanks.
The chametz itself. You know why? Because it's going to be the exact same value of what he owes.
Not necessarily.
He could, unless he ate. If he ate something. Okay, so we could be willing to... No, but he only owes the $999 of what from what he took at that time. You're saying now it went more, so he's giving back more?
Yeah,
I hear that. Let's, leaving that aside, the week's worth of inflation or deflation, he could repay the $9,999 zafan olav that outstanding debt that he owes with shavu kesef kekesef in the form of this chametz. So therefore, he'll just give me all the chametz back. He paid up his loan. And you know who else is happy? He's happy because he paid up his loan. My Baal Batim are happy because now they got the Cheerios back. And that's how Mechiras Chametz works. So was there a sale? Where's the money? The answer is, of course there was money. But there was a layaway plan. And the money will be due Saturday, you know, Motzei Yontif. And Motzei Yontif, all of you will be paid for your the stuff that you're selling. You might not get paid in dollars. You might get paid in Shavah Kesef Kekesef in the form of the macaroni and the schnapps and the Johnny Walker and the Macaulay that you sold originally to the guy. He might pay back his loan in that form as well. And that's how Mechiras Chametz works. Now it happens to be Matzah Yomtif, the Mishnah Berurah says, you don't have to be so frum to do all these kinyanim in the opposite direction. Why? Because now you don't have the all of the Isser Chametz coming on you. Now it's just a matter of him not having tainas of you eating his Chametz. So it's just, I don't want to say it's Eishu Gzeil is lenient. I don't mean it like that. I mean, the only thing, as long as he's satisfied with you having acquired, the, you know, him selling the Chametz back to you, so Chalipin is usually all you need on the way back. So even though we did 6 Kinyanim, maybe even 7 Kinyanim, we had to do a Shtar also, to get the Chametz to the guy, to get it back from the guy, all we'll do typically is Chalipin, and that will be sufficient to get the Chametz back to the Jews after Pesach. Okay, very good. So I think, any questions? Yeah, Don.
Is it a problem if he's not rich enough to actually pay the money, if he were to keep the...
Yes and no. Rabbi Willig likes the guy to be wealthy so that it's more serious. No one else in the world is really makpid on that. Rabbi Willig did a lot of work on in Mechiras Chametz. He wants it to be as mistabre as... It makes sense that when you deal with somebody who's going to buy something worth $1 million, that he should know what he should have the wherewithal to pay. But if you think about it, anybody in the business world knows that when you do a business deal, nobody puts money up front. Nobody has money. When somebody buys an apartment building for $20 million, how much does he put down? Less than $1 million. He borrows $19 million. It's leveraged. Everything's leveraged. So if a guy wants to put down, you know, when you buy anything in the world, when you buy a car, when you buy a car, does anyone actually pay $30,000 in cash for a car? If you lease it, you're leasing it. If you're not leasing it, you finance it. So you put down $1,000 today, $2,000 today, and you pay the rest over time. So why shouldn't the rest? That's exactly what we do with the guy. Does he have to have the money to buy it now? No, because he's not buying it now. He's borrowing, he's buying it now, and he'll pay back the rest of the money whenever it tells you work out. So yes, yeah, so if Willig likes, it does make sense that the guy should understand how Kenyatta works, should understand what he's doing, he has to. He's a person who is familiar with markets, familiar with, you know, buying and selling. It should make sense. He should understand that there's a borrowing, there's a lending, there's a money, there's an outstanding balance. It will have to be paid, but he'll be able to pay it back. So make that deal. It's not a problem. Okay. Yeah, I'll see you next week. But Chag Kasher Sameach.